remember an actor, he's passed on now, and he used to shout out, "Good morning, Vietnam!" You remember that film? Well, this morning we can say, "Good morning, China!" There you go. I've got to back down a bit. I promised you last time I spoke that I would bring you something that would turn you against me, beat me up, throw me out, not allow me to preach again. And I spoke to Pastor Mike about it, and he agreed thoroughly, not with the beating up and throwing out, but the subject. And then I spoke to my old Christian growth teacher. We're good friends, had many happy theoretical discussions, and she threw a couple of spanners in, and so I thought I'd better not bring it before you this morning. We'll do something ordinary and basic, and actually I'm cheating here because I'm going to preach to myself this morning. Now, whether you like to join in with me or not, that's your business. That's entirely up to you. Because I have a bit of a problem with preaching. Not mine, of course. Inasmuch as we can study and preach our hearts out, and the Holy Spirit is upon us, and all sorts of majestic things happen. And we go out there and somebody says, "Wow, wasn't that great preaching?" So yeah, what did he preach about? It was good. And I worry about preachers preaching. Do we actually do something in your lives? Do we actually get through and change something in your walk with Christ? Otherwise, go home. Otherwise, I might just as well not bother to study. I'm not a great studier these days. So preaching gives me a bit of a problem. So this morning, to get over my problem, I'm preaching to me. And like I say, you can join if you like, or you can sit there and think about the wonderful party you're going to, the roast dinner that you're going to have, the housework you're going to fulfill, the new wheels you're going to put on your car, or how you're going to box the ears of your kids that played up in church this morning. You see, it's entirely up to you whether you receive or not. Now, I'm reminded over and over and over again that when people come out for prayer, and the Lord Jesus said over and over again, he said, your faith has healed you. And this morning and every other morning when you come in to listen to somebody preaching, it's your attention that changes you. Now, if you don't have the attention of what's being spoken of from the pulpit, then it's your fault. Which then takes the burden completely off of me. You see, it's not how well I preach, it's how well you hear. And then the word goes a little bit further and it says, "Be ye not hearers of the word, but doers of the word." So you can hear as much as you like and go out of here and say, "I heard every word he said. Hallelujah. I know exactly what he spoke about." But don't think that I'm going to change. You see, you've got to be hearers, but you've got to be doers. You've got to be doers. And not just you and you, but you and me. Because this morning, I'm happily preaching to myself. So join me if you wish. Father, thank you for the word that you've laid upon my heart for this morning. And Lord, I pray that I will learn something from it. Because I know me better than the rest of the people in this room. But not as well as you know me, Lord. And you know that there are certain things in my life that need to be changed. And this is one of them. So I'm about to bare my heart to you this morning. No, I'm not. I'm going to call this going on a complaining fast. Going on a complaining fast. You see, people tend to think that if you go on a fast, you stop eating something. We've just been away for 10 days up in Cairns, and we've done eating and we've done walking, but the eating has overtaken the walking. So that now I give praise to God for elastic. I jumped on the scales this morning and said, "You're lying." It's just ridiculous. How can you put on that much weight in 10 days? 10 miserable days. I suppose if we'd have gone up and down the stairs instead of the lift, it might have helped. We were 11 stories up. 3 stories and counting. Go on a complaining fast. James 5:9, my favorite book, says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned." There's a mouthful straight away. Wait, when you're grumbling against each other, you're setting yourself up to be condemned. That worries me straight away. Could I do a lot of grumbling? Ask Faith. "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." He's standing at the door ready to judge for those that complain. Now, I just suddenly realized several people just shut down then. They just said, "I'm not listening to anymore. That's it, finished. Go home now." Don't knock them down. That's what grumbling does, doesn't it? Grumbling pulls somebody down. Grumbling knocks somebody down. Help them up. Encourage them. You know how powerful a word of encouragement is? Do you know that just putting your arm around somebody's shoulder and saying, "Well, I'm with you, brother, sister. And listen. Oh, I know how to fix that. Yeah, I remember I had that problem." And they go away totally crushed because they realize they're not the only one. There's somebody else that's worse. Me. As opposed to lifting them up and saying, "Well, let's pour your heart out. Let's talk this out. Let's just see what God's got to say about this problem." Because God has a word for every problem. Somewhere in the Bible, there is a word for whatever problem we have today. Do you remember I preached many yonks ago about the word of God? And I'm quite compassionate or quite passionate about the power of the word of God. Not just the word of God, but the power of the word of God. And remember I said, why don't you buy these little books, memory verses? I think you were looking after the books back then, Lynn, and you got some in, and people bought some of them. I've just picked my one up again. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I picked it up. I found it. You know how you find things? They're not really lost. You just haven't used them lately. And I read it every night now, once again, because I forget where the words are in the Bible nowadays. I haven't as yet forgotten where my Bible is, but I do forget where things in the Bible are. So by encouraging them and knowing the word, you use God's encouragement through your mouth to help people up, as opposed to rubbishing them and pulling them down. Don't focus on what they do wrong. What's the favorite subject? Favorite thing for pulling at government? We all rubbish the government because it's the wrong government. They made the wrong decisions. They spent my money wrongly. They're taking too much off me. They do stupid things. See, I told you. I know how to whinge. It's the Pommy blood. I'm allowed to keep up my heritage. Don't focus on what they do wrong. Focus on what they do right. Because we all do good things and bad things. And if anybody only does good things, leave the room. You're in the wrong place. Because we all do bad things. We all go wrong. Focus on what they achieve, not where they fail. "I wish you wouldn't do that. You've done it again. You always do it." As opposed to saying, "Gee, you did a fantastic job of such and such. Gee, I enjoyed what you did. I enjoyed what you said. Gee, we went to a great place because you planned it. My golly, you've got good friends. It's so easy to just change direction a little bit. To change relationships by the power of what comes out here. Say the right things, good things, happy things, joyful things, even if they are rat bags. Because the word says, bless he who doesn't bless you. It came out this morning. Pour coals on their heads by loving them. And always remember, we all fail somewhere. You can be fantastic at doing that. You can be hopeless at it. You can be fantastic at doing such and such, and they're just useless at it. I'm good at everything, so no problem. Ask faith. I pay her well. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren. That means, you know, we sort of build you up and say, hey, do this, do this. Go for it. Warn those who are unruly. Now, we're lucky in this church. I don't remember seeing any unruly people in this church. Well, anybody above that high. Faith and I absolutely love the way the Littleys run around this church. We give thanks to God every morning for the Littleys that run around this church. I love the way they come tearing around here, crash down the deck, get up, look around, and just keep going again. You know, if I did that, I'd stay down there for 5 minutes without getting over the shock. So we love the kids. They're absolutely fabulous. Warn those who are unruly. This is why some churches keep, you know, one or two really big guys. You know, we don't need you in here. Out the front door. That's wrong. You are condemning them. God does the condemning. We need to talk to them, find out what their problem is, and help them to solve that problem. Comfort the faint-hearted. And Christians all walk in different levels, don't they? You know, there's the big, strong Christian that be healed and they immediately run out with their 4 broken bones fixed. And you get somebody that's timid and sits back and think they can't do anything. Get alongside those guys and just encourage them. You know, God uses the weak. God uses the weak. And we need to be patient with them. We need to come alongside them. And you get people that have got stuck, hung up on particular scriptures, and they tend to forget the rest. They're weak in their ability to understand the word. And we need to be gentle with them and not condemn. Say, that's not the way it's done. That's not the way that word comes out. No, I've got a far better understanding of that word than you have. I love to hear James. I sat with him a couple of Sundays away, and he's going through the Bible. Chunk, 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 chunk. This is this, and this is this, and this. I had to walk away in the end. I was just so ashamed. I can't do that anymore. But you do a great job of it, James. You really do. You know your Bible. You know where the bits are. Be patient with all. Isn't that difficult? You know, I know you think I'm placid and calm and lovely, but ask faith. Man, when I lose it, I lose it. When I lose it, I lose it. Step aside. I might be little. I don't care how big you are. You step aside when I lose it. Do you know why little blokes are strong? Because Satan likes little blokes. He gets his strength in little blokes. And you big blokes, you've got it all. So be gentle. Be patient. Practice gratitude. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Faith and I, every morning, give thanks with a grateful heart. Now, it may be because we're blessed every day and we have everything and we need nothing and we go on holidays and we've got a great church and great friends, great family, great everything. You know, it's easy to bless when you're in our situation. We're millionaires. We've got hundreds and thousands of... She's a lovely girl, really. Give thanks with a grateful heart. have an attitude of gratitude. It's so easy. An attitude of gratitude. You got it? You get that? An attitude of gratitude. Not a whinging pom, but an attitude of gratitude. You know, let it sink in. I think I said last time we got a girl in our church in the village, and it took me weeks, just to get those three words together. All you need is an attitude of gratitude. And you need your attitude of gratitude when the wheels fall off. Faith and I got an attitude of gratitude, but the wheels haven't fallen off yet. We're preparing. We're getting ready for when the wheels fall off, that we've got in place, already fixed, an attitude of gratitude. And that's what we need to do with the Word of God. If we haven't got it in place, it can't come out. Does that make sense? If you haven't got the Word of God implanted in your spirit, not up here in your blonce, in your spirit, that's where the power is, in your spirit, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ Jesus. And guess what? It works. It works. In the middle of the night, it works. Those nasties just disappear instantly. Give thanks in the morning for the blessings of yesterday. Because the Word says the blessings are new every morning. Every morning. I can't get my head around that. I don't know about you guys, but where the Word says, and God knew every day before yet even one had begun, He knew the blessings that we were going to receive today. He knew it before any single one of our days started. So give thanks for yesterday's blessings, because they're gone. They're old blessings, and we loved them and we enjoyed them, and we may have grown up in some of the bad ones, because some blessings don't look too good on the surface. They don't look too good. They say, thank you, Lord. I learned something from that. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Get into it. He loves the praise of His people. He loves to hear that attitude of gratitude when something has gone wrong. What's our attitude when things do go wrong? Yeah, that's a good question. Luckily enough, we've answered that one several times. I know what the attitude is when things go really, really wrong. Because that's when God really listens to our praise. When we're right in the middle of the mire, when not only the wheels have fallen off, but the engine's blown up. And hallelujah, Lord. Praise God for Ecclesiastes 3 that says everything is but for a season, and this is only a season and it will pass. So I praise you anyway. Job, end of Job. Yet I will praise him. Yet I will praise him. And that's the secret to a lot of our Christian walks. When do you praise him? Only when things are goody-goody? You weaky. You weaky. Do we grumble or praise? Negative or positive? Do you know, we can't do the two things at the same time. Isn't that wonderful? God in His grace has given us the... It's all right for you women. I know that you can multitask. So it's easier for us blokes. Knock it off. It's much easier for us blokes because we can't multitask. So when we're whinging and moaning and we're all negative, we can't get into the other side. So when we're praising and worshiping, we can't get into the negative side. So we've got it easy. All we do is open this door and shut that door. Or it's easy for the blokes. We can come over the top of the trials and tribulations, and we can just step out of that door of whinging and moaning and pretending you're a pom into this glorious place of the freedom and the joy of being a child of God. Do you know there's no better place to be? Think of those people right now. Faith and I pray for these people every single morning. There are Christians around the world that are suffering for Christ now, that are being tortured for Christ now. Do you pray for their release, for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them, that they are able to stand up for Christ in their moment of agony? See, we're brothers and sisters. We stand together. And when somebody's in that awful place and they're struggling to be able to praise and worship, we pray for them. And we bless for them. And we worship with them. And we help them through that mysterious place out there where distance doesn't matter. We don't have to see them, but we know they're there. We can't have grumbling thoughts and uplifting thoughts at the same time. You ever notice that? You can't whinge and moan and praise and worship at the same time. They're two totally separate boxes, two different rooms, two different places. James 3:12 says, "Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." Nature, through God's blessings of creation, teaches that we can only go down one track. Is that the time? Oh, I've got another hour and a half. One of the great things that Christians, and all of us, not just Christians, need to learn, is to let go. We can sometimes get ourselves into real dire straits, into lots of troubles, lots of sleepless nights, because we try to do things that are God's job. We try to fix things in other people's lives, and it's God's job. We need to rejoice and be happy in what we can do, not what we can't do. So it's a matter of praying, "Dear Lord, give me the wisdom to know what I can pick up and do and what I need to leave for you." Because we need to stop trying to control or fix everything around us. And some of us get a bit like that. We see a problem, "I'll try and fix that. I know how to fix that. I remember doing that 20 years ago. I'll have a go at that." And God's saying, "Haven't you learned yet? That's something I need to do." God enjoys fixing up things in our lives. And we steal his enjoyment by trying to do it ourselves. We all have families. And that's one of our great areas of prayer and trial and tribulation. Because I had a phone call when we were on holiday up in Cairns. And a good relative friend, brother-in-law of mine, has fallen down and cracked his head. And he's been in a coma for 2 weeks now, 2 weeks yesterday. Now, do I jump on a plane and go over there and try and fix everything because I missed a fix it? Or do I sit down and pray, like, "Lord, you know whether it's Bernie's time to go home or not"? And my sister-in-law rang me, and she's on her own. She lost her husband a while ago, and she was in absolute kerfuffle. She didn't know what to do, what to say, whether to go, whether to say, because it's her brother. And I didn't whinge at her. I didn't say, "Oh, you stupid woman, you can't do anything. What are you going to do?" I said, "You can't do anything. Sue, just relax. If you go over there, you can't change the situation. If you send them a card or you give them a phone call and say, 'We're thinking of you, we're praying for you, we lift up Bernie and you, Pearl, because you're carrying the burden.'" You see the difference? You see the difference? One lifts, one encourages, the other one pulls it down and tears it to pieces. Same situation, same place, same people. Just what comes out of here. And what comes out of here comes from here. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? How do you react to what's in your heart? So let God do what we know he can do, because he can do it all. And we can get great joy out of doing what he's called us to do. You know, when we come out with the right words and you go away, "Wow, that was a great word, Lord. Always remember to give the Lord the joy, the blessing, and the accomplishment is his through us." Always give him the praise for it. You'd be amazed. We were traveling down a 15 kilometers of real turn left and right, left and right, left and right, left. 15 kilometers. I thought it was never going to end. And we had some idiot come screaming up behind us in a big red car. and jam yourself right into the boot of our car. And we're doing this down one of these roads, 15 kilometres of it. And there was a tiny little bit of straight road. And this idiot pulled out and went round us with another car coming the other way, round the corner. If he'd have clipped our nose, you know what would happen? The car goes over and the car rolls. That's how they turn them over. God was with us. See, God is with you. He said, I will never leave you. So that's a praise point. We say, hallelujah. We still say this morning, thank you, Lord, for your hand of safety upon us as we traveled. We were traveling in a hired car that was doing all sorts of silly things. And God is with you all the time. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the worship. Give him the glory. Because God loves doing it. He loves doing it. Enjoy what we can do. Let God enjoy what he does. Hallelujah. Let's try out a day of complaining fast. How about a whole day where we fast on complaining? Whole day? Half a day? 2 hours? 2 hours. 2 hours. Do I have anything on 2 hours? 2 hours, 2 hours. Now, if he whinges in the next 2 hours, clip his ear off. I thought that I'd get away with 20 minutes, perhaps 10. You know, things that go on between here and here, even if you're thinking it. If a man thinks that he'd like to get off with somebody else's wife, he's guilty of having done so. So what we think is very powerful. So I need a fast, and if I start with 10 minutes and perhaps work up to 15, and hopefully somebody will pray something different next week. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And we heard about that this morning, praying. When Laura was praying for different people, in prayer and supplication to the God who is able, more than able. Use the power of prayer. The war room. We haven't seen the film. We've been up in Cairns. We've been up in Cairns. You get bitten. I'm bitten from here down. The war room. It's a matter of seclusion. I have a great mate. He's running a church down at Horsham at the moment. And whenever he prayed, he always used to set up two chairs. He said, one chair here and one chair facing him there. And that was his war room. Like you say, you don't need a room. Car, two chairs. And he'd always sit in his chair and talk to Jesus, who he could visualize in that chair. That was his war room. I used to sit in the car when I was doing Christian growth teaching. I was out on the road a lot of time, and I'd park the car somewhere, and the car was my war room. And I used to pray so fervently I couldn't keep up with my breath. My body wanted more breath than I was giving it, and I was speaking out too fervently. So it doesn't matter where your prayer closet, we used to call it, is, use it. Use it. Make it a permanent place. And God will be there one day, and you're late because you've stayed in bed. He's sitting there and he's saying, oh, sure, Peter comes in here every day. You see, God doesn't need it, but we do. We need that continuity of doing things. We get used to it. When we're under pressure, we open up our spirits to complaining. Isn't that true? You know, when you've been sick for a long time, Charlie, that just breaks my heart with that girl. When we've got something that nags us continuously, we tend to open our spirits up to complaining. When things aren't going right for a long period of time, we tend to open up our spirits to whinging about what's going on. When we pray, we release that pressure. We really do. Because we come out of the one place, we come out of that box, and we get into this box, and we praise the Lord, and the pressure comes off. We can't complain while rejoicing. We can focus on our successes, That sure shuts out complaining. When we start complaining, we forget the good things that happen. But when we really focus on the things that we're successful at, what are you good at? You know, what do you really enjoy doing that's good for the Lord? And remember those things that you've done, and complaining goes completely out the window. We always remember to give God the glory because he was successful through you, not because of you. All our success stories are because he worked through us, and we rejoice when he does that. And I'll finish with these. 1 Thessalonians, that's twice I've had trouble with that word. 5:14-28. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. And amazing how many times when you're reading different things that a chorus comes into your mind. Laurie gets this too, you know, rejoice always, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. We used to rattle it over and over. Pray without ceasing. I used to have a mate also in Christian growth, and he would be walking around town, and he's a big solid man. He'd be walking around town, and all of a sudden the Spirit would come upon him, and this big solid man would start crying and praising and praying and lifting up whatever the Lord laid on his heart. You see, you don't necessarily need a war room. You need to be in contact with the Spirit and pray to God wherever. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. Not just give thanks when you're in a tickety-boo position, but when you're sick, when things are falling apart, when you haven't got money to pay the bill, when there's no food on the table, no cattle in the stock, and no fruit on the vines, yet will I praise the Lord. Do not quench the spirit. And I've seen guys that have been in executive positions quench the moving of the Holy Spirit. And that hurts me right in my spirit when I hear it's like somebody cutting the air with a knife. Never quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. And I've been guilty of this myself in the past, where I've prophesied. I used to prophesy a lot in the old days, and I can remember getting exactly the same feelings, the same thoughts, the same everything. And I prophesied this thing out, roll strong, and this is me speaking and God speaking through. And I was completely wrong. Totally wrong. I never prophesied for months after that. But God forgives when we say, Lord, I did that wrong. Test all things, hold fast what is good. And Pastor Mike said this, I think, last week about speaking. No, I don't think it was Mike. Somebody else. It must have been you, Peter. He's gone. I've bored him out of bed and breakfast already. You said last week about whatever I was just about to say. Test all things, hold fast what is good. And I think you said, Peter, something like, I've been preaching this morning, I've read you the word, you go home and check it out. And that was read from Scripture. You read it from Scripture. That they went home and checked in the Scriptures what the scribes have been preaching. And we need to do that. Abstain from every form of evil. And the start of my word is go on a complaining list. Complaining is evil. It is not of God. It is of the wicked one. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Watch it, you fellas. Don't come to me with your holy kisses. Girls, that's fine. No problems. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.